Mandalorian Talk Radio, the official podcast of the Mandalorian Mercs. We're a costume organization dedicated to charity efforts around the globe, attending events in Mandalorian armor we've built by hand. Here on the show, we'll keep you up to date with the latest fan community news. Visit our website at www.mandalorianmercs.com.
And welcome back to another episode of Keldabi Talk Radio. I'm Biohazard, your host. And with me, as always, is Crow.
Hi, guys.
And with us tonight, we have Frost Kamon from our Talon Clan in North Carolina.
Hello.
And we also have with us Mr. Pinocchio from Veshok in Mississippi, right?
Still here.
Still here? Okay, good. And that's all we have tonight. A couple of our guys are sick. Some of them have stuff to do. They're preparing for C6.
No, which one of them is just trying to get a Canadian motorcycle license, which is almost useless.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's like, who's going to hit you, right? There's nobody up there.
Yeah,
I mean, you could theoretically hit another moose on the road, though.
Exactly.
That's true.
Well, no, but he's on a motorcycle, and he's so small, you probably just go right under the moose.
Oh, yeah, that's true. He could just lay the bike.
Yeah.
No, he'd be too much like an action hero then.
Oh, so no. If he laid the bike, it would probably tear half of him off.
Probably.
Be allergic to the asphalt.
God.
Anyway.
Jump the moose.
Yeah, jump the moose, Sean. So we're going to have a little bit of a shorter episode for you tonight. We're all preparing for C6, getting some other stuff going. So first up on the news, Star Wars The Old Republic. Have we talked about it enough?
No. I think we've done pretty good. Past couple, we haven't mentioned it too much.
Well,
now
we had
time again.
Yeah, we had a run of like 4 episodes where we didn't talk about it, so now it's time to inundate you again with Star Wars tour news. Frost, take it away.
Basically, it's going free to play, is what I hear.
Up to like level 50, I want to say. Something like that.
End game content is no longer going to be at level 50, but basically, you're going to be able to play most of the stuff that's already out with the free-to-play account, and then once you've gotten up there, you'll be able to either pay monthly. It's supposed to work like DDO. That's the rumor right now, anyway. Where essentially you buy micro expansions, or you can unlock them actually without having to necessarily pay money for them. It's just that it'll take you months and months and months to unlock a single piece of expanded content when you could pay $5. Mm-hmm. Chances are,
and
profit.
According to Kotaku, if you have been a subscriber before, or if you subscribe before they go to free to play, you're going to be getting a bunch of free gifts, bunch of downloadable stuff that you can take on. So that might be nice for those of us that shelled out for it in the beginning, but don't want to continue paying for it.
Meanwhile, the rest of us can just jump on the freebie bandwagon.
Yeah,
which I mean, it was already. It went free to play up to what, 15, somewhere around there?
Yeah, they started doing that in, I think, May.
They did that as soon as they saw that WoW started doing it, and WoW subscribers jumped up before they started declining again.
Yeah. Right. In other related news, according to Kotaku also, the Star Wars Old Republic has less than 1 million subscribers now, which, if you follow MMO stuff, is really small.
Yeah.
Because I think WoW is still over, like, 10 million, 11 million.
Well, to be fair, that's a bad comparison. Among actual MMOs, 1 million is about the standard. So basically, when it was getting touted as a WoW killer, that didn't happen. That being said, it's pretty much running with about the same amount of members as pretty much any other MMO is now.
It still could happen that this does bring about a new shift in MMOs. I mean, if they see that people like story-driven stuff like that, that may end up coming into a WoW revamp or other MMOs in the future. So it may not be a complete
it's not
disappointment.
A real step backward.
Yeah. Well, the other thing is people have this weird notion that when an MMO goes free-to-play, that's the end of the MMO. And that comes from sort of a early mindset about MMOs from like 2006 when DDO went free to play. Everybody,
I think people see free to play and they think like RuneScape.
Yeah, well, they think RuneScape or they think like Facebook RPGs. And the thing is, they're still money making engines. The reason they go free to play is because free to play makes money. They don't do it just because.
The whole idea is that they get you hooked on the game, they get you playing, wanting to compete with your friends, you want the better equipment, and then you pay $1.50 once, you know, two or three times a month.
Yeah.
And then they get more subscribers that way. It's kind of the way that Farmville has worked. You know, trying to buy the best equipment.
It works the same way as League of Legends, which is currently one of the highest grossing non-subscription based games on the internet right now. Mm-hmm. It works the same way that Star Trek Online and DDO and pretty much every MMO that's been released in the last 3 years has gone that way. Even World of Warcraft is actually gone. It's done everything but actually go free-to-play, where they have the monetized in-game system where you can buy all kinds of crap and services that are quote-unquote premium content. It's just that...
But they also made Battle Pandas, so there's kind of a trade-off.
Yeah, well, they're still able to charge money for playing the game, and they'll continue doing that probably for the next 2 years before they're forced to go free-to-play.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm kind of interested to see if they ever do a revamp of WoW.
But they'll just do a second one.
Yeah, it'll just be...
WoW actually, I think they're supposed to be canning it in 2014, when Titan comes out.
Which will probably be...
making money.
Well, even if it's still making money, what they're probably going to do is offer the Planetside incentive, which was back when Planetside closed, back in the day, they offered people incentives to move over to, I think it was EQ2. Planetside is actually still running, but when...
Just barely.
Yeah, but when EQ2 came out, they offered people like a bunch of incentives to go play EQ if they had been playing Planetside for X and Y amount of time.
Was that like they give you like 3 free months or something?
Yeah, they just gave you stuff that was worth money and prestige in game, and so
and people were like, "Give me."
And so it's very likely that in World of Warcraft they will have an extremely advanced reward system for people who played WoW in whatever their next game is. But that's completely irrelevant because it has nothing to do with Tor.
I played the Old Republic up to like level 24 and just, okay, I'm bored with this now.
Money that way?
Yeah, I think the thing that kills it for me is that I love it from the standpoint of a single player experience.
I just hate MMOs.
Yeah, I mean, I play WoW, I like WoW. But, I mean, I liked Star Wars Tor because it was the single player experience that you got from games like KOTOR. You had a character, you moved through the storyline, and it had the same feel. But with Old Republic, there was so much, it was so spread out. You know, there's so many servers. And then on top of that, you know, people that quest with people move faster, get more stuff. I mean, it was
That's how it's always gone. If you had a guild or if you have friends, you will progress more.
Mm-hmm.
That's just the standard MMO formula now.
Yeah. I mean, I think if they revamped the combat storyline system a little bit, I mean, it would have been a great single-player game.
Well, the planets, they just feel small. Like Tatooine, it's like, this is it?
Mm-hmm.
Well, okay. The problem is that, like KOTOR, the game has extremely linear progression, and that you end up in places that are supposed to be the, quote, open world areas, like places that they've intentionally built to be open world. Except that instead of being the way it is in most MMOs, which is called nodal gameplay, where basically you walk into a town, that town gives you 15 quests, those 15 quests take you somewhere in the same general area, then you head back to that town and turn those quests in and they send you off to some other area where you keep moving between nodes of gameplay. Tor doesn't really do that so much. It mostly just puts you on a train track, and then you get quests along the way that sort of resolve themselves as you play.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's really pretty. Like, it looks good. The game looks better because of that, which is, I think, why BioWare did that. That's how they've done Mass Effect and all those other games.
Mm-hmm.
But it negatively affects the replayability. Unless you've had enough time to sort of stop thinking about it. You can go back.
Now, something I noticed when I was playing, I think I played through my agent, and then I went and I was playing through a smuggler, and I noticed you went to the same areas, and in particular I'm thinking of Terrace, and it looked completely different. It was the same world, but when I played as my agent, everything was really dark. It was grim. The lighting was really, you know, it was nighttime. And then when I went to play from a smuggler, it was daytime. The creatures were, you know, less powerful. I mean, it was like a, I don't know, it felt like a different experience to me, even though it was the same area. I got sick and tired of it because I ended up playing them like back to back, but that was.
Well, that's because you tried to play basically the same class twice.
Yeah. Yeah, pretty much. The Force users weren't really all that fun.
I mean, I played the beta, like half of us did, and I sort of, again, I don't play MMOs, I've never liked MMOs. I got started with Star Wars Galaxy and RuneScape, and that's probably the root of all my problems.
Yeah. Well, which Star Wars Galaxy did you start playing?
The first one, like when it first came out.
Star Wars Galaxy 1? Yeah. Yeah, well, yeah. That is completely different than modern MMOs in general. I think the closest thing I've played to that recently is Fallen Earth.
Yeah.
And Eve.
I just got
bored with the entire experience.
Galaxies was a very open world. Like, it was too open.
Well, yeah, it was very open, but you had jack to do.
Yeah.
You want to build a town? No.
Fun stuff.
So we're going to go to a commercial break. We'll be right back with a little bit more news about what the Mercs is going to be doing at C6
stuff.
Stay tuned.
2 out of 3 Mandos experience jetpack issues that ultimately lead to the wearer's death. Jetpacks are prone to failure at the most needed of moments and will hinder your ability to survive in a combat situation. Join the fight against jetpacks in combat. Join Magic today. Mandalorians Against Jetpacks in Combat also stands against propulsor packs, rocket packs, pre-positioned bungee cords, and Wookiee catapults for tactical insertion. Magic does not restrict any of the above devices for recreational or hobby use. Join Magic today.
And welcome back. As most of you know, we're going to be going to C6 in Orlando, end of August. If you can join us, great. If not, we're going to be covering it the whole time. The podcast team, I think almost all of us are going. If not all of us.
I mean, I won't be, like, reporting in or anything. Like, I'm not going to get on the website and be like, oh my god, I'm Yordaland. No, that's not going to be me. Sorry, guys.
You invented tauntauns.
Brian, you do that voice way too well.
That's just me.
Oh, great. Now you know my mystery costume.
Get on my back here. I will be your noble steed.
Please make that.
My life is over.
So some of the events we're going to be doing at C6, some of the special stuff you should know about. We're going to have a bunker in our space. I think we have like a 50 by 30 space that we're going to be taking up.
It's pretty significant.
Yeah, so we're going to have a bunker crew. You'll be able to see some Mandos in action. It's called, I think, LAMP. We're also going to have some panels on costumes, and we're going to be doing a thing about invading the galaxy where you can learn about all the Mando history and culture. And
how to invade the galaxy.
And how to invade the galaxy. It's a very important thing. I think Jeremy Bullock is going to be involved with that. That's kind of cool. Kidding. Okay. Kidding. Okay. If anybody remembers the coverage of C5, he told us that he was going to use the Mercs to take over the world.
Which is fine.
Do you know what? He did.
Yeah.
That's why we're all your evil overlords now. Am I right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Am I right?
Yep. We're also going to have a charity bounty hunt where it's going to be hosted at the Invasion Bunker. But we're going to be able to send out teams to capture your friends, put them in a jail cell, raise a little bit of money for the charity fund that we do. Some other things we're doing are group photos. We're going to have a build-your-own Mando at the Celebration Family Room where people can bring their kids and they can, you know, make little Mando costumes themselves out of paper and, you know, markers and stuff.
Cardboard and all that fun stuff.
Yeah, it should be fun.
The stuff we know.
Messy, I'm assuming.
Yeah,
but, yeah.
And yeah, they will be completely troopable, these cardboard armors, for like, what, a day?
We only make stuff CRL ready.
Yeah. Yeah.
Slap which I think is explicitly against CRLs.
Don't worry, the fiberglass.
True. Don't use cardboard.
Use poster board.
And also, we're doing the birthday bash. If you haven't heard about it, then you're probably out of luck because we've sold all the tickets already.
Yep.
So it's going to be a big birthday bash, really. The Mercs is going to be 5 years old. It's actually already 5 years old, but we're celebrating it then. We're going to be having a bunch of skits, a bunch of presentations, a bunch of stars and actors there. I think Daniel Logan's coming. Timur Morrison might be coming. Bullock is definitely coming.
Oh, Tamora's back?
Yeah.
He's back. All four of the actors that played Boba or Jango are going to be at C6 in some fashion.
Word.
Hooray.
It's a stun, yeah.
Oh, yeah, okay. I was like, who's the fourth one? Is that fair? I don't know about that. So yeah, come and see that. That's going to be on Thursday. Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it's Thursday night.
Thursday, 7 to... I thought it was on Saturday. That's why I was like, what? Yeah, Thursday, 7 to 11 at the Rosen Plaza Ballroom A. If you bought a ticket, it's going to be there with all goodie bags and stuff like that.
Your swag.
Yeah. For those of you that bought the dinner with it, the buffet, a bunch of tasty food, I'm sure. Rosen Plaza is really nice, so it's going to be awesome. You guys are staying there, right?
Yes. Very nice place that I've never been to yet, but yeah, I'm staying there.
Cool.
I'm staying somewhere. I don't really know where.
So that's C6 in a nutshell.
Yeah.
If you haven't heard about some of the other things that are going on there, they're going to have the 501st is going to have a Rancor. They're going to have a Jabba's Ballroom, I believe. It's going to be really...
Well, if there's anything to go all out for, it's kind of this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, and that's just what I know the 501st is building in the U.S. Belgium might be putting together a bunch of stuff we don't know about.
That's just going to be a giant waffle on a stein of beer. And it's going to be fantastic. It's probably going to have, like, a little Vader helmet on the top. See? And a little Star Wars.
And if you want to volunteer to help out at the table with any of the events that we're doing, we do have some threads in the official member section. If you're not an official member, you're free to help out some of the members by handling for them, walk around with them, make sure that people don't harass them. But meet us at the table. We're going to have plenty of walking room, plenty of stuff on display. It's going to be real great.
Yep.
And we're going to be covering it, as I said. We'll probably be doing at least a podcast on site.
Mm-hmm.
If not, trying to do a little bit of coverage here and there. Not with everybody, but maybe I'll do something and maybe Crow will do something.
Yep.
Toss it back and forth. Give you guys a little bit of coverage on it.
We have the technology.
And we have the press passes, so we have to do something.
No.
So.
I don't have a press pass.
Faxos has a press pass. I want to put his butt to work.
Make him handle it all.
So, yeah. What are you guys looking forward to at C6?
Personally, everything. This will be my first C6. Well,
it'll be my first C6, too.
It'll be my first C numeral here. So I'm looking forward to everything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think the Rosen Plaza, where I think most of us are staying, is it's only like 800 feet from the convention center.
It's across the street.
Yeah, so I mean, truck it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, it's just inevitably...
They should do a zip line.
They really
I would
should.
Do a Memento zip line.
I would risk my neck for a zip line across a busy Florida freeway.
110 degree heat.
Just like do it one-handed, hang off with the gun. No, never mind. It's Orlando. It's bad idea.
Oh, good to see that. Just curling his arm, just zipping down, his hair flowing behind him.
Oh, yeah. You can't contain that. Well, look at Blackbird. He was like, "Hell, I've got all this fantastic, freaky hair. I'm not going to stuff that in a helmet."
Ewok infestation bringing you down. Just call 1-800-EWK-GONE and our trained exterminators will come out and handle a little furballs for you. 1-800-EWK-GONE, we're just a parsec away and we will tailor your exterminations to fit your needs. Poisons, safe release traps, non-safe release traps, and incineration are all on the table for discussion. No questions asked. 1-800-EWK-GONE. Note, we do not handle any Giska infestations.
And moving on, we're going to be doing some quick armor tips and taking some questions from Facebook. The first question is, what was the hardest part of your builds?
Gauntlets. Always gauntlets.
Yeah.
Unless you buy them.
You can buy them, but I didn't want to buy everything. I would say the hardest part when I started was the helmet, because I tried to do a scratch build like everybody else, and I failed.
I think that's like an initiation. Like everybody has to fail at the scratch build.
I don't know. I think you guys are idiots. I have never once tried to scratch build.
No, you've never tried it.
That's
because you've had that helmet since like 2002.
Well, I've had my mystery since 2007. However, I had a two piece, a Ruby's two piece since 2002. It was in 2003. It was when Attack of the Clones came out. I bought that in fixed it up and everything, painted it up, and then I built my first costume. So, no, you're all stupid, basically, is what I'm saying.
yeah.
And that buy a two-piece, because if you're going to have any starter helmet, it should be a two-piece, because they're indestructible.
Oh, yeah, I've got like three of those.
I used to throw mine around, like, and it's still perfectly fine.
Unless you have a rangefinder.
No, I had a rangefinder on my
our no one in our clan has a working rangefinder, except for Pat. That's just because he hasn't broken his yet.
Yeah.
Don't worry, that'll finish.
I think you had one for a while, and then I think Talon knocked it off the table.
No, my first one, what I have now, I have this little stub antenna, and that used to be the full rangefinder stock, just mm-hmm. didn't have the flag cap at the and then Tal knocked it off the table, and I just, you know, it snapped in like two places. So I'm like, you know what? It looks better short.
I stopped using them after I had my car, and when I was living in Alabama, I took it around with me to show it to, I think, my mom and her coworkers at the time. I was in high school, so they wanted to see it. So I took it over there, and then I put it back in my car, and I ended up hanging out with them for, you know, like 20, 30 minutes. Went back out to my car. It's 150 degrees in there, yeah. And the rangefinder's... yeah, so after that, I was... Never again. It's like the one piece that just breaks all the time.
So it's pretty much like helmets, specifically rangefinders, dealing with those, and gauntlets mm-hmm. seem to be the two hardest things.
Yeah, I found leg armor to be pretty hard, too.
Yeah, leg armor is...
Just getting it to fit and actually ride okay.
Getting what you want out of leg armor is pretty hard.
Yeah.
All right, next question.
Next question. Let's see which one's a good one.
Will the Mercs be at the Fan Expo in Canada? That's not our question.
I never actually answered what the hardest part of my build was. I'm interrupting you so you can edit this in.
Do it.
The hardest part of my build was definitely sewing the new plate carrier for the current iteration of Frost, which was initially based off of the Neo jacket pattern by Simplicity. So it started as like a 6-foot long jacket, which I then cut back and did some other stuff too, and a lot of pattern modification. But I had to sew that over the course of like 3 days, and my sewing knowledge is
terrible.
I mean, I can sew, especially now, really, and it'll take a while, and I'm best friends with the Stitch Ripper. But that being said, it's a pain, and it takes a long time, and I have no envy for the people who do this for a living.
I disagree.
You're
think
stupid.
That
mine was easy, but mine is literally like a rectangle with cutouts. But when it's on, you don't know.
Yeah.
And then all I had to do was pretty much just sew up the seams, sew up the sides.
Mine was an 8-panel jacket. Velcro.
Yeah, so mine, I skipped that completely because yeah. I knew I would fail at making a real pattern like you did.
I was going to say, I disagree with you, Frost, because I think the hardest part of your build were the wings that you never really completed.
No. I finished them. The issue was that I half-assed it when I did them. And, I mean, now I just fixed all of the design problems that I know about on them in my head, and I'm still not going to finish them because it's a pain in the ass.
Oh, you need to finish them though. It was interesting. Just imagine Frost with like 9-foot wings.
16.
Awesome. Actually,
it was a 16-foot wingspan. I managed to get 8-foot worth of wing on either side. It was obscene.
So the next question is: are there any ways to make Centra look scratched without actually scratching the plate?
Yes, by being good at paint.
Mostly.
Yeah, you want like a nice smaller brush and some Testers model paint or some Games Workshop paint.
Yeah,
model
sure.
paints, really. Use acrylic, though, because a lot of model paint does come as, I think, the oil type or what's the other thing? Enamel?
Yeah, enamel.
Yeah, so you make sure you want to get acrylic paint because that's usually what most of your spray paint is going to be. I think Rust-Oleum is sometimes...
They make touch-up paint, sort of.
Yeah,
it's pricey.
So paint is the best way. Although, I will go ahead... I know this isn't part of the question, but I will go ahead and say, actually scratching the plate...
Usually looks great.
Yeah. If you can get a knife or a Dremel, just hack at it, really.
Or,
I mean,
a rock.
Well, don't hack at it because you're likely to like break the blade of whatever you're doing.
Number 11 yeah. X-Acto knife.
Yeah, there you go. Do whatever Brian says. He's always right.
Or something you can do is if you have one of those old like toothed saws, you know, like for cutting wood, take that and just kind of
run it along
there. Just make sure you wear gloves, please.
Yeah,
do that.
We don't want to get sued.
Because then, like, if you do that, because then you'll actually get some, you'll get a texture on there, which is always nice. You'll get some, a little bit of depth. You don't really need to dig into it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, just a couple millimeters really makes all the difference. Because then what you can do is you can actually paint in that little crevice, do some silver in there, and then you can take black wash, which is like, you can mix like Windex with some black acrylic paint a little bit and spray it in there and wipe away and let it dry, and you'll get some grime in there. And that level of detail, I mean, because then you have like three levels. You have the grime itself, the paint, and then the scratch. I mean, it just builds and it makes it look so much more realistic. That's how Boba's armor looks so danged up.
It is actually dinged up.
Yeah. So painting is one thing, but once you get within probably 5-6 feet, you're really going to notice it.
Yeah.
Next question is asking about themed armor and what the position of the club is, and what are some of the ones that have been worked on in the past.
Yeah, well, I know that right now there's a bit of a pony following out on the West Coast, and for the most part, I believe the official stance is if this is your second kit.
Yes, if it's your second kit, you can do it, but it won't be recognized.
It also depends on what your theme is. Like, for example, if you want your Mando to look a lot like Solid Snake or something, and so you do some things where you have, like, let's say, the two little trailing cloth things coming down from under your helmet, and you're all painted up to look like Solid Snake, and you're wearing a Solid Snake bodysuit with plates on top of it, and you've got a gun that looks a lot like, you know, a given gun from a given Metal Gear Solid game, you know, like the rocket launcher or whatever, then, yes, that actually probably will make it through, because it's still a Mando, it just looks like something else. But then if you've got a Mando and you paint it up to look like the, you know, the Saints or something.
Frost, why don't you let the app team member work on this question?
Oh, no, he's doing fine with it. But like Saints Fett, you know, he's down in New Orleans. He's got the approvable gold and black armor, but he's got the big fleur-de-lis on it and the numbers on it from the team, and it's never going to fly. And I've talked to the guy several times, and each time it's, why won't you let me in? It's like, well, just make another chest plate that doesn't have that and the numbers on it, and you're good to go.
The color scheme is completely fine.
Yeah, that's fine. Just get rid of the Earth numbers and the fleur-de-lis, and, or just, you know, make it small and hide it somewhere where you can't see it. But, you know, I hope we don't start seeing brony Mandos coming through. That would just be just completely odd.
Yeah. Well, hey, at least you guys have it better today, because as I hear it, when the council was approving costumes back in 2007, 2008, they were getting, like, Emperor Palpatines, and, yeah, like costumes that weren't even Mando at all, so I think we've come up a little bit.
Yeah, well,
like,
I don't see
too. I think the general rule, I think, is homages are fine. If you want to do something with this kind of flavor, with, like, a themed flavor, or just, you know...
Yeah, like a big gold net.
Kind of got this look, not flavor. That sort of thing is fine. But yeah, the second you actually start using licensed props or licensed imagery or anything Earth.
Yeah, like you can't have the Cobra logo on your chest.
If you send in an app with your Rainbow Dash Mando, it could be a
with cutie marks.
Well, first of all, I'll punch you through the internet. Friendship is
fur. You do that when you're not a 9-year-old girl.
Yeah. But again, if that's just something you want to make for fun and just post it up on the non-official side of the boards, that's fine.
Oh, Sarsk asks, how do you make things with stuff?
Oh, well, that's actually
stuff,
a very important
question.
You beat
some stuff, and you glue some stuff, and you paint some stuff, and then you got some stuff.
He actually asked me a legitimate question, and he wanted us specifically to go into detail why three colors are better than two. And he's right. Three colors are better than two. All of you two-color Mandos out there.
It breaks things up. It just gives it the two main colors that you're using so much more vibrance.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it just sets them apart so much better. A nice third accent color goes a long way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I don't know if you... Does mine have that, do you think?
Yeah, you've got, like, gray, copper, and black.
Yeah.
Well, and additionally, the other thing is, if you look at Boba Fett's actual helmet from
like
the movies, just his helmet only comes with three colors. And excluding the T-visor. It's just the red on the mandible face thing, the green all over the place, and then additionally, he's got silver from all of the battle damage.
And then he's also got darker green under the cheeks and yellow on the rangefinders.
Shut up. The point is that of the primary colors, he's got silver, red, and green on his helmet. Mm-hmm. And the silver is actually mostly in the form of battle damage, but it helps bring out the facial features, essentially. It makes it so it's more pronounced and more visible. Adding in that third color is just really important for adding in a little bit more that's interesting to the eye.
But you don't want to do too much.
You also don't want to do, like, opposite colors either.
Yeah, contrary colors do not work. That's why they're contrary.
Yeah, you want to stay with the tertiary colors.
If it's next to, if you're looking at that color wheel that everybody saw in art class, colors that are next to each other, or at least on the same side, are great.
Yeah, if you want to make some contrast, go with the opposite side of the color wheel. I mean, you have like purple versus yellow. Those really stand out against each other. But then if you want to try to take that in a little bit, I took art class just last semester, so it's like all really fresh. But if you want to do like, you know, say, what would be a good color for green? You go a third. Yeah, you go back to the red.
Yeah.
Just pick up a color wheel. Actually, if you go to
www.google.com and you look
and search for Kuler, KULER, Adobe has a great program there where you can do like different colors and stuff. It's free. It's right on the web. Here, I'll go to it right now.
But going back to the three-color thing, especially on a helmet, like a lot of people, they'll do the T-visor mandible thing one color, the majority of the helmet a second color, and then they'll use a third just accent color on the upper parts of the cheeks and on the ear caps here and there. And what that really does, that really makes your T-visor color just pop.
Yeah. So we'll put this link up on there too, but if you go to kuler.adobe.com/whatever. Yeah. Just do that. But there's a little thing that looks like about like three lines with some dots on it. Click on that and you can edit the color scheme and you can change the colors and you can add and subtract and you can play with them all sorts. But then take these colors and go try to find that paint or something similar to it at your local hardware store or something, and that can really help out too.
Yeah. What kind of helmet microphone do you use or recommend?
There are two ones you want to use, which is a throat mic, which is like a thing that you literally wrap around your throat.
I always just recommend the one that we have, which we got through TK-409.
Yeah, well, those are just the battery-boosted ones from Radio Shack. So if you can get a battery-boosted microphone, that's what you want to use. And in terms of speakers, you can either get speaker boxes like for gas masks, like they have ones for firefighters that you can use that are supposed to go into their rebreathers. And you can use one of those speaker boxes. You can get laptop speakers if you know how to electronics.
I remember one of my first problems with speakers was that I was absolutely convinced when I first joined up that the speaker had to be in the helmet.
Nope.
I was like, that has to be the way you have to do it. Otherwise, it's not right. But then as I matured a little bit in my costuming efforts, you can actually just put them in a pouch on your belt, and it sounds exactly like it's in the helmet. I mean,
and especially if you're trying to use a voice box, you really need to pick of whether you just want the sound that's coming out. Like mine, I have my little laptop speakers in the helmet, and I'm using one of the TK-409 headsets because they work. But I don't get a whole lot of volume.
Mm-hmm.
But when I'm talking to somebody, it doesn't sound that muffled. Sounds like I've actually got electronics in my helmet. Or the other side you have to go is if you really want to be heard, then you have to have external speakers.
Mm-hmm.
Then you got to have them in a pouch. But at that point, like Bio said, if you've got that kind of volume, no one's going to know where the sound's coming from.
Mm-hmm. And you still have quite a bit of sound coming out from under the helmet, too, which I think a lot of people don't realize.
Yeah.
I mean, that's how you're heard anyway. And if you just talk in a strong voice, people can hear you.
Yeah, well, the other thing is that myself and a number of other people, notably... Lucas and Sarsk and most of the other Mandos I know don't bother.
Yeah.
We just speak a little louder and listen a little better. And generally speaking, that works. Because people know you're in a costume already.
And you also got to remember, like, that's going to add a bunch of weight and complexity to your helmet.
And if you're Noval, it'll shock the bejesus out of you. Yeah. Eventually catch fire.
Yeah. And then if you ever put it through airport security, they're going to see a whole bunch of wires and stuff in there. And it's
vaguely dome-shaped, like a shaped charge.
Yeah, like mine, and especially like if you're a lady or if you're just a dude with long hair. I don't know how much hair I've pulled out just getting stuck on the electronics in my helmet, just trying to take the helmet off.
Fan.
Yeah, but that's not the problem. It just keeps getting caught on the battery boxes and on wires and on tape.
That's another thing about fans, guys. Unless you like have asthma or something, man up. Just you don't actually need that fan in there. That's just adding more complexity and bulk to your helmet.
Mm-hmm. And if you build your helmet right, leave a little bit of gap in the visor so the airflow can go through.
It won't fall.
Well, first of all, you should always hot glue your visor in. You should never, unless you've got something weird going on, like you have EL wire on the outside of the visor and thus it can't, you can't have it hot glued because otherwise the hot glue will eventually come out. Because that way you can pull the visor out without having to replace it when you need to repaint your helmet. And since you're doing that and it's hot glue, you can always just rip it out later on, which means that you can experiment with different ways of getting airflow on it. I find that the best way I've found in most of my helmets is to put large lakes of hot glue at the corners, right where the sort of the T part of the T visor happens. At the ends of the top part of the T-visor, and then at the bottom corners, sort of at the chin part of the T-visor. And then most of the rest of that, you just put down little dots that hold it down so you get plenty of airflow around it.
I have to ask, are you spinning in your chair?
Me?
Yeah.
Why?
You kept going in and out, and then you'd be like, this. And then you're back to normal again.
No, actually, it's because I'm wearing my... I'm using earbuds, and then I'm also wearing a headset because the speakers in this headset stopped working. And as I was talking, I was looking back over at my helmet, trying to remember where I put the hot glue in it.
Oh.
So, even all that out.
Yeah.
That's your job, Pyle.
Yeah. What else? One thing I was actually looking into today, and I know one of my clan mates, Jarek, he built a helmet box for himself, and I've always really liked it. And the way he did it, tip for you guys, is he got milk cartons. No, not milk cartons,
milk crates. Yeah.
The plastic things crates. You can steal from the back.
No, don't steal.
You can buy them in the Container Store, buy them at Target. Usually they're like $6. But you take that, you put some EVA foam, or some other kind of egg foam on the inside of that.
Same thing you've probably got in your helmet.
Yeah, and then just take a sheet of Sintra, some kind of hard casing thing, and just put a piano hinge on one side and close that sucker up.
Yeah.
And just put some duct tape or some...
I think he's just got a rubber band.
Yeah.
Closing it, just tied around it.
Yeah, and it keeps it protected. I mean, and it has handles that you can carry it with, and that's how I'm going to be making a couple of those because we're actually shipping our armor down for C6. Mm-hmm. So, I mean... Why not?
I've known people to ship their entire suit of armor in a paper crate. You know, the little cardboard paper crates with the handles on the sides?
Yeah.
I've seen somebody do that before.
Some people are braver than others.
Some people are braver.
Yeah, when you have this much money invested in a costume, you don't really want to see it break.
This person's costume didn't weigh anything either.
Oh, that's a plus.
Was it made of cardboard?
No. It was all metal.
You ship the box down and then cut it up.
It was all metal leathering cloth, so I guess it... But it only weighed 5 pounds, which is weird.
This is creepy.
was this a revealing set?
No, this is a standard Mando set. I was surprised as you guys.
So that's all that we got for you this month. We'll be back in late August, early September with some feedback from C6, some live coverage here and there. So we will see you next time.
This has been a production of the Mandalorian Mercs Costume Club. If you'd like to learn more about the topics discussed on today's show, please visit www.mandalorianmercs.com. The Mandalorian Mercs is a worldwide Star Wars costuming organization comprised of and operated by Star Wars fans. Star Wars, its characters, costumes, and all associated items are intellectual property of Lucasfilm. Copyright 2009 Lucasfilm Limited. We hope you enjoyed our show, and we'd love to hear your feedback. Please email podcast@mercs.firespray.net. Until next time, happy hunting.
Come together right now over me.
That's the stinger on the end of the podcast.
There you go.